Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Munich, the only mark more useless than the Deutschmark.
Hello, I'm Mark Wilson.
And the striker who thought, oh, my shirt number, when Bayern said nine.
Hi, my name's Gordon Dale.
Wilson and Gordon DL, captained by Gordon Duncan. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard live from Munich as we look back on a sobering night for Scotland in the opening game of the Euros. Steve Clarke's side toiled, Germany excelled, and that all added up to a 5-1 defeat as Ryan Porteous was sent off. The party off the field continues, and on it, attention turns to Switzerland in Cologne on Wednesday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, there'll certainly be a lot of hangovers in this city from the Scotland fans after last night, but let's hope the players don't have a hangover. They need to get over quickly the huge disappointment that was last night. Put the result behind them and have to look ahead to the game on Wednesday night against Switzerland as we watch the Swiss take on Hungary at the minute.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I think it was a disappointing night for everyone concerned. The Scotland camp, Gordon, wasn't the start we were looking for. We came in with so much hope, and unfortunately, the Germans on the night were just too good for us. But we've got to put that behind us. We've got important games coming up. No importer than Wednesday night's game against Switzerland.
We've got you covered. We are live from Munich right throughout the Euros, of course. And today, what a setting for you. We are here at the Fan Zone. It's in the Olympic Park, right in the shadow of the Olympic Stadium in Munich. Big screen with the other game in our group going on at the moment, as Mark alluded to, Switzerland and Hungary. So we'll keep an eye on that, see what result we get, see what permutations that has for Scotland. We're going to cross live to Scotland's training base in Garmisch Partenkirchen as well to see what the mood is like there, get reaction from Steve Clarke, get reaction from some of the players. You can join in on the phones as always, because that's the whole point of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, so give us a shout on 0141 951 1025, and we'll even see if we can grab some Scotland fans down here to assess the scale of the headache last night, whether that was alcohol or football induced, because Mark Wilson, that was a tough night to say the least.
Yeah, pretty atrocious. If we're being totally honest about the full performance level. Look, this Scotland team has gave us a lot of joy over the last couple of years. Back-to-back tournaments, some big results in there against big opposition. But there's no doubt about it that they badly let the fans and themselves down, and the manager down last night. They underperformed beyond belief on the biggest stage. And because there was so much hype leading up into this game, because we had so long to think about it and, you know, chat to the fans in the city, it just added to that disappointment when you've seen the level of performance. But look, the players will know, they're hugely experienced. The players will know that they've let down the country last night. It's all about picking themselves back up in tournament football.
Gordon, it was, and you can probably use some of the strong words, people would lean towards disaster, people would lean towards embarrassment. I don't think those would be controversial choices, because a lot went into it. You don't want to lose a game of football like that under any circumstances. But on game one of a Euros, where there is so much hype, so much excitement, so much expectation, so much dedication from fans that have come over here, so much attention from fans back home who were hoping for better, people would have taken a defeat on the chin if it was the right type of defeat, and it wasn't. There was nothing right about it.
Yeah, there's a way to lose games, Gordon. That certainly wasn't the way last night for Scotland. Look, you're playing against the hosts. You're playing against a top-quality team. Superstars all over their side, but we didn't perform. Every single player was off it last night for me. I said after the game, I don't know who had given pass marks, and you got off to the worst possible start. I think Steve Clarke would have been saying, look, try to settle into this game, try to make it difficult, try to frustrate the Germans. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes, you're 1-0 down, you're fine, you lose another quick goal, you lose a player, and at half-time, the game is totally gone from you. So it was a very, very poor night for Scotland.
Come on then, let's see it as a form of therapy. Let's do it together, 0141 951 1025, if you want to phone. If you are here in the Fan Zone, we'll speak to you as well. Where did it go wrong? How long have we got? We're only on air for 2 hours. How do we pick ourselves up from here? And what's the mood like around the place? Give us a shout on the phones. Or if somehow, by the wonders of technology, you're listening and you're in the fan park, come over and join us, just like Ali has, who's joined us live here in the fan zone. How are you, Ali? And you're from Linlithgow, is that right?
From Linlithgow, yes, that's right. Correct.
Big question, first of all, did you experience the pain in person at the game last night, or were you elsewhere?
No, we were at the game, in the third tier, so we got a great view of it.
So, yeah. Right, I'm going to do something a bit radical. Let's even try and go positive. How good was it right up until kickoff?
Oh, the atmosphere before the game was just fantastic. I mean, it was everything you wish for. National anthems were absolutely superb. I did kind of go a bit pear-shaped after that. I just thought we just didn't turn up. Every player was, just slightly off it. The touches, everything, whether the big occasion just got to them. Even like Cal Mack, he controlled the ball at the park at one point. You never see that. So it just didn't go right, did it?
Is that what made it all the more disappointing? Because, for you guys that were in the stadium, even for us watching from the city centre, and maybe even for people back home, it was everything we built it up to be in terms of, this is like a once in a lifetime experience. You're opening the Euros, you're in Munich, it's one of the great footballing destinations in the world, the atmosphere looked unreal, so many fans everywhere you looked, and then what came after, that must have been a real sort of roller coaster of a night then.
I think through the years you've had many roller coaster of emotions following Scotland. Look, we almost had a free pass last night in many ways. We didn't obviously expect to fall like we did. But I suppose the positive I take is, at half-time, you're 3-0 down with 10 men. And then, I know they maybe took their foot off the gas, but it was only 2-1 the second half. So, I mean,
taking a positive for a 2-1 defeat.
That's quite clutching. You've got to look at a wee bit. For clutching at straws, but that's what we're all doing.
I love that. Positivity.
Mark, that is the sad reality of it, is that, and you know, this is not really a positive, but it's a reality, is that it could have been worse because there was the sending off. I've not really mentioned that yet. We were getting a really tough time anyway. We went 3-0 down and down to 10 men pretty much at the same time,
yeah,
before half time. It's crazy to say it, that it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, without doubt. You remember the goal that was chalked off as well for offside. I mean, how many shots of goal did Germany have as well, from about 20 plus yards, 10 or something like that, shots of goal? Angus Gunn's made a couple of saves in there. It could have been much worse. And you know what? Germany would have deserved it if they actually added to the five. So we couldn't hold that against them. And that'll be the disappointing thing. Look, I get the thought it was a free pass for us because Germany were the favourites. But also get there was still huge pressure on the Scotland players' shoulders because it was the opening game. But we've seen them playing under huge pressure before. And that was the most disappointing thing, that our ball players, our guys that can handle the ball in tight areas, just didn't look like they could do it on that stage last night.
To be honest with you, Mark, for me, they looked like they had a little bit of stage fright at one point. You know, especially early on. And I said earlier, Steve Clark would have been putting that message out, keep this as tight as we possibly can. Try and put a little bit of pressure on the Germans. But let's give them credit. I thought they were terrific last night.
Did
I really
it feel... You know, you get a sense, Ali, for a football match when you're in the stadium. Did it feel straight away like it was going to be one of those nights when you look at how Scotland didn't settle and how quickly Germany went on the front foot?
I thought we were hesitant with the ball. So we'll try to play out from the back, build from the back. But the minute we hesitated, they moved 2 yards forward and that just closed all the space, whether it was out right or left. We'd already missed the chance. Whereas the difference was them with Kroos, Kimmich, they're like bang, right through the two lines, players running in behind. And that was, I think ultimately that was the difference there, that we just weren't sharp, we weren't doing what we know what our players can do.
It's the nature of the defeat then, Mark, surely, because looking at that Germany performance last night, might be a bit defeatist, I think at our maximum last night, we still lose that game.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, you know,
probably when Germany's playing like that and they've got the world-class players they have.
What we did was not even make a fist of it.
We didn't lay a glove on them at all. I think the pressing thing's a great point to make, because Germany were all over us and we've got good players. Germany know we've got good players on the ball. They play at a top level. But it was the opposite. When we went to press them, you seen our team drop off, and you know, me and Daz were chatting about John McGinn. He'll be able to tell you a bit more later, but John McGinn didn't go and engage with Toni Kroos, the one man you need to get close to. Let somebody else take the ball. We just allowed Toni Kroos to take it all day long, and he was spraying passes. So That's a problem right away within the opening 10 minutes. And, you know, no coincidence you end up losing a goal from Cruz. You know, pinging it out to one side, it's laid back to Verts and he puts in. Goalie should save it, but that was the problem. We didn't get close to them, we didn't press them, we didn't put them under any pressure at any time. You do that against this German team, they will score a barrel.
But they were different, Mark. They actually done that to us right from the first whistle. They were at us, they were in our faces, they didn't let us settle. The amount of times Scotland got possession in wide areas, Midley Park, every pass was back the way because the Germans were so tight to them, putting them under a lot of pressure, winning the ball back, dictating the pace of the game, and it was only going to go one way. I thought the Germans got their tactics spot on last night.
Did Steve Clarke get his wrong in any way, Ali? So it is easier said than done. Just go and press Tony Cruz.
Hindsight, you know, possibly.
Should we have done more?
Thought McGinn was too far out to the right to start. You wanted to try and get him more inside. But the Germans played traps for us.
Yeah.
They wanted us to get the ball out from the back, be hesitant, and then they just pounced. It was like a glove. They just,
yeah, and we've
they
got
just
a goal,
smothered us.
We've got a goal in the other game in our group, and it's an interesting one. It is Switzerland that have taken the lead against Hungary. Dua has scored. It was actually ruled out. The offside flag went up, but VAR has had a look. It's given him the benefit of the doubt, and he's stroked it into the back of the net. And I know Hungary would probably have been narrow favourites in this one. Switzerland have taken the lead. Just quickly on that, what is it simple? They want a draw? Want these two to kick lumps out of each other and draw the game?
8 men each, finish 1-1. Is lovely, but that's a great start for Switzerland. They've been on the front foot. I've been watching a little bit about Gordon. They've been really impressive.
Just briefly, Mark and Ali, we can get to what's to come in the future, but the nature of the defeat last night already makes it hard for you to really qualify as one of the best third place teams. You know, there's a scenario here where 3 points can get you through, probably not unless you really somehow massage your goal difference from here.
We're looking for second place, and to be honest, I thought the Swiss would have been our best chance. Now, I don't think that's great that they're one up, but plenty of time left. Hopefully we'll get a draw out of this one, and then we can beat Switzerland. That puts us in an okay position. That's the way Steve Clark's got to look at things this morning.
I do always feel like, Ali, there will be a difference in mood between people who are here and people who are watching back home. If I was back home, I'd be particularly angry about it still, and I'm not saying the fans here aren't, but you know, you're still here, you're still at a Euros. It's a nice place to be. You've got a couple more games and you kind of throw yourself into it. There's no real option otherwise.
You had a period of reset last night where you were down, but you've got to reset and regroup. Look, it was just a bad day at the office all round. I mean, we were saying that this morning, kind of our debrief in the house. It was basically everything that could potentially go wrong with our performance last night happened. And let's be honest, in the years following Scotland, that's a rarity, especially under Steve Clarke. In a competitive performance, maybe not in the friendlies, they're different. But I just don't know. You've just got to be optimistic. Reset, go again.
I love how you have a debrief in
there. Yeah,
after every game. That is professional.
That's what fans do.
That is standard, isn't it? You just watch the videos. No, can't
bring the salt and pepper. This is how this is Tony Cruz, the salt shaker. We should have got closer to him. I like that, Ali.
I wonder if I was to go around and poll every Scotland fan in this fan zone, would we find many that thought Ryan Porteous was hard done by?
I don't think so. I've not brought myself to watch it again, but you see the still, can understand why. So,
I mean, Mark, this can be, when it's Scotland and it's a major tournament, sometimes we can shamelessly club together and be a wee bit biased, but I don't think we could go that far.
When I seen it in real time, I said right away, oh, that looked a bad one. I didn't for 1 second think Ryan Porteous had won that ball fairly. You just saw the desperation in him, and I get he's defending his goal line, you know, 5 yards out, but still you can't be as reckless as that with your left boot and go into the ankle that high. So it was the right decision, and he's going to serve the punishment more than anyone. He's going to certainly miss in the next game. I don't think he'll get back in, you know. I just don't, because I think you mentioned that last night, Gordon. I don't think there's much between any of those players in that position. And maybe Porteous just found himself in there because Hanley was lacking a bit of fitness. But now, I think Porteous, that'll be his last game.
Very quickly, Ali, before we let you go, can we salvage something? Is there any optimism left? What's the mood?
We know we're a good team when we play. I think that's obvious. You've seen the games in the campaign. But we've got to turn up, ultimately. We turn up and then we can do it. I mean, there's two good teams that are still to be played.
Yeah, we're getting a look at Switzerland-Hungary just now. Switzerland do still lead by a goal to nil. Ali, thank you very much. That was
no
brilliant.
Thank
appreciate
you very much.
Your contribution.
Cheers, guys.
That was Ali. We're here live in the fan zone in Munich, grabbing fans here and, of course, taking your calls as always. So let's do that. Let's go the traditional route and bring in Stevie, I believe, who's on the line. Stevie's in Springburn. Stevie, how are you?
Not too bad. But upset after last night, but not too bad.
Stevie, if I was to ask you like where it went wrong, you could probably answer for about 5 hours, but take it away if you can.
I thought they threw the team under the bus last night, team selection. That was shocking. I mean, why was Billy Gilman wrong for the start?
Yeah.
Need to hold them midfield. You need them, and it wasn't there. It wasn't there. And the wing backs, I was watching it and listening to the commentary, and within 2 minutes, the co-commentator and McCoy, Alan McCoy, said they're too high and they were pinging balls across and they get caught out. Surely he must have got a message to somebody and said, get back. We were too far forward, and it was shocking, absolutely shocking last night. I mean, Scotland have been a good team. They've qualified, but last night was shocking. I think he got his whole selection last night wrong. Even though Hanley may not have been match fit,
yeah,
I would have played them in front of
Porteous,
quite honestly.
I mean, I think with hindsight, I don't think many would disagree. I mean, the Gilmore one's the standout one. Should he have played? You both thought.
I thought that Steve Clarke starting 11 got it bang on.
Really?
And I can go with the arguments. Mark went for Gilmore. I can go with the arguments about we have to keep the ball. And Gilmore's one of the best that we've got at keeping the ball. And it was evident last night that none of our midfield players could keep the ball, but he played Christie for that bit of energy, that bit of pace, trying to go up the pitch, trying to support Adams. He had McGregor in there trying to be the passer. It just didn't work. McTominay wasn't on it. McGinn looked hesitant for me, didn't know where to go and press. I do agree there that I thought we got I thought we got our distances from the back wrong, from the goalkeeper to the defenders. I thought we were too high up and we just played right into Germany's hand, gave them too much grass.
Managers should never be exempt from criticism for team selection, Mark. It just feels like, because of what we know now, we know how big the gulf was, we know how heavy the defeat was. I don't know if we can say that the inclusion of Billy Gilmore, I mean, how much does it change things? That doesn't mean Steve Clarke gets off with it, but you see what I mean? I don't know if we can say that would have made all the difference.
Difficult to say, because so much went wrong in the night. It just wasn't that midfield area. However, I said Billy Gilmore should have started instead of Christie, and I thought McTominay would have carried more of a threat higher up the pitch, whether that be running in behind or just, you know, that physical presence and that technical ability he's got to even get a shot or two off at goal when we managed to get the ball up the pitch. But we couldn't secure the ball in the middle of the pitch, and Gilmore is without doubt our best at that, and it was going to be so crucial. We knew that Germany were going to try and smother us, and we knew we'd need our players to take the ball in tight areas and be brave. And what we saw, especially in the first 20 minutes, was just none of that. We weren't brave. We couldn't take the ball. Every pass went backwards, and you know, we were punished, rightly punished. So it'll be interesting to see what Steve Clarke thinks about Wednesday, but I'll be amazed if Billy Gilmore doesn't start that game.
Problem with that is, Stevie, this is the last Euros all over again, except we're 3 years on. Billy Gilmore didn't start the first game, we were poor, he then came in and was brilliant, and then we can do the same thing again. Is that frustrating for you?
I just last night, quite honestly, and I don't mean this to be overcritical, it looked like it was 11 guys thrown together last night. They had no cohesion. They looked at their depth last night. Now, for a Scotland team who qualified well, to me, they looked at their depth last night.
That's a really good point.
I've been watching. I'm in my 60s. I've been watching football for years with Scotland. I don't mean this to be critical. Better players have played worse and not qualified. I just thought last night was shocking.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We didn't win a raffle to be here. Got here because we absolutely scooshed a qualification group, and before that there was a Nations League success, and before that there was the last Euros. It kind of looked like we've just been thrown against Germany and we're on a different planet.
We didn't look organised, Gordon. The one thing you can say about Steve Clarke is, and I think he takes a lot of credit, he organises the team very, very well, and he has in the past, and let's be honest about that. Last night, I looked at some of the players, and especially McGinn, in the early stages. He didn't know whether to go and press or stay or go to the left back or stay. We've got our distances wrong. I just thought that our big players looked, you know, like they'd walked into a different stage for me. These guys have played in massive games. I know there were a bit of excitement. It's opening game. Everybody's there. The excitement of the country. You see the amount of people that are in Germany supporting Scotland. That every single player last night was off it for me.
And Germany were very good as well. I think we can agree. Thank you to Stevie, who was very annoyed at what he saw last night, and understandably so. If you want to join in, it's 0141 951 1025. We'll take your calls, we'll get more live reaction from the fan park here in Munich, and we will cross live to Scotland's training base not too far from here. We'll assess the mood in the camp as well after these.
Live from Germany with UK debt experts. The national team helping you tackle your debt. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, we are live here from Munich. Clyde One Super Scoreboard coming live from Germany throughout the group stages. And thanks to UK Debt Expert for sending the team over. We're in the Olympia Park fan zone in Munich until 4 o'clock today. And again, a big thanks to UK Debt Expert, who have helped 250,000 people deal with debt, five times the capacity of Hamden, if you think about it that way, and 45,000 of those right in Scotland. If you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you, and you can find out more at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. We are here, like I said, in the shadow of the Olympic Stadium in Munich, the fan zone. We're watching Switzerland lead Hungary by a goal to nil in the other game in our group at the moment. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. You can give us a call on 0141 951 1025. We're going to get live reaction from fans here, as we have already in the fan park this afternoon. But we're even bigger than that. We've got you all covered. Let's head live to Scotland's training base at Garmisch-Partenkirchen, not too far away from here. You'd probably never heard of it until these Euros came about, but our reporter Andrew McLean is there. Andrew, the mood in the camp question is a bit of a basic one, it's a bit of a cliched one, but extremely relevant, I suspect, at the moment. How would you assess the way you found things over there this morning?
Yeah, not good at all, I would say. This is probably the perfect place for the Scotland team just to come and completely disconnect and move on from last night. It's a very quiet, very scenic town on the Austrian border, surrounded by mountains in every direction. I had a walk round earlier. There's actually a sort of ultra trail event on today where people were reaching the finish line of that, and it was showing a clock of 12 hours on it as well. So quite a lot going on here at the moment, but
it's
overall
funny,
this place
how,
is just
that's
so...
That's how it felt watching Scotland last night.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think the players are definitely probably feeling the effects more than the ones that were doing the 12 hours of running as well, because it's been a real, real tough night for them. But this is just so far removed from the craziness that there has been in Munich over the last, you know, couple of days. The team travelled back here last night after the game, a bit of a light recovery work session this afternoon, but on every single one of their minds they'll still have that feeling of what last night was like, and they'll be determined to make sure it doesn't happen again. They are doing media down here as well in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, and it was Callum McGregor that was the player up for media duties today. He had some time to reflect on last night, but he really wants to now look ahead, see how the players can fix it going forward as well. He says the most important thing is that they don't go into their shells, because Hungary and Switzerland, who are of course playing at the moment, he thinks they'll be smelling blood.
Yeah, well, this is where we have to be strong, for sure. You know, everybody will come at us, and quite rightly so, for what is a poor performance. But we can't let it derail us, can't let it pull apart, and people start going into their little groups. It's very much like a club environment. You have to stay together, you have to stay strong, and ultimately you have to prove people wrong. You know, that we had a poor performance last night and a poor result. And people will see that, people will smell blood. The two teams that we're going to play now will smell blood. So, you know, it's now what you've got inside you that you want to rectify that and put it right. So, for sure, the next 48 hours will be really important.
Yeah, Callum McGregor, continuing to go on. He was speaking about the supporters as well. I made the journey down here this morning, got the train down here, was going through the main train station in Munich. So many Scotland fans, just the look on the faces of the Scotland supporters, the way they were acting was just so different from what you've seen in the last couple of days across Munich. And no surprise as well, because it was a real, real disappointing evening for the thousands and thousands that have made the journey over. So many in the stadium, some of them left early, but I'll tell you what, so many stayed behind. The majority stayed behind and applauded the team despite the result. Still proud of the fact that the Scotland team are here at the Euros. They still believe that maybe something is possible, but what they do know is that this team need the support going forward in the next two games to try and get over the disappointment of last night. So many of those supporters will now kick on to Cologne and Stuttgart, having journeyed, you know, weird and wonderful ways to get over to Germany in the first place, spending a heck of a lot of money as well while they're at it. Callum McGregor says the players are well aware of that, and last night's result actually left a sour taste in their mouth because they knew what the fans had done to get here and support them, and he says they're desperate to repay them as well.
You feel sorry for them. They've spent so much money and travelled and done all sorts to get here, and again it leaves a sour taste in the mouth when you wake up this morning and you've not done yourself justice, you haven't done the country justice, because you know, when you get to these tournaments, you want to show people that we're a good nation, we've got good people, we've got good players. So we have to apologise to the fans for not putting on a performance that they would be proud of, but we stick together and on over the next two games, we try and give everybody the objective that we want.
So yeah, Callum McGregor speaking very well today, I thought, hit all the points that I think Scotland fans would want to hear. He knows that the supporters will be hurting. He wants to make sure the supporters know that the players are hurting as well. They are desperate to make sure that that is just a one-off, and the games against Switzerland and Hungary coming up, they know they need to show a reaction. The players will have this sort of recluse back here in Garmisch-Partenkirchen where they can just go along and train themselves, and it will be a bit of a quiet time. They can reflect, they can talk amongst themselves, work out exactly what went wrong in that game against Germany last night, and it's about putting it to the back of their minds, making sure that they use this time wisely, they work out exactly tactically, mentally, what went wrong on that Allianz Arena pitch last night, and then hopefully it's a completely different picture come Wednesday night in Cologne.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's probably too early to know for sure, but I take it no indication of any injuries picked up last night or selection issues. We know Ryan Portis will be suspended, of course.
No, very hard to tell, because the players did train today, but not all of them, because it's the day after a game. It's one of these recovery sessions where not every single player takes part. Some of them are just doing gym work. Some of them, you know, the players that didn't play at all were doing more of a heavier session. The players that were substituted on later on did their own sort of programmes as well. So hard to tell really what the squad will look like. Certainly it didn't look like any players took any heavy knocks last night, but there was a lot of running to be done last night, especially with having 10 men for the whole second half of the game. So the Scotland players will definitely be feeling the effects of it in a physical sense, but in a mental sense as well, I think, is probably the most draining thing. So if these Scotland players can, you know, maybe just have a bit of time to relax and think about what's happened and really recharge, then maybe, just maybe, we'll see a different Scotland team come Wednesday.
So a few days training, trying to come up with a game plan, and then heading up to Cologne. Is that the plan for Steve Clarke's side?
Yeah, that is the plan. I'm told that the way it works with it trying to be a sort of sustainable Euros, that the teams are allowed to take one flight during the group stages. So this Cologne trip from Garmisch to Cologne is the one flight that they will take through the group stages, which is probably a good thing. The players will be happy about that, because it's about a 6.5-hour, 7-hour journey if you're going by bus or you're going by train from Garmisch-Partenkirchen up to Cologne. So it will be a case of the players recovering, having those training sessions. It'll be a heavier training session tomorrow. It'll be another heavy training session again the following day, and then Tuesday is when the players will fly. I think they'll probably travel to Munich first of all by bus. It'll then be a flight up to Cologne. There'll be the pre-match media duties the day before the game on Tuesday, and then Wednesday they'll be raring to go again.
How would you describe Steve Clarke last night? Because you were obviously there in the stadium, Andrew. What was his demeanour? It doesn't get too high anyway, so goodness knows what he must have been like after the game last night.
Yeah, there were actually quite a few foreign journalists that were asking me about Steve Clarke and his demeanour, because he was very short, he was very sharp. He wasn't too happy with the way some of the questions were worded, whether some of them were fair or not. He was asked about a sort of disagreement he had with Austin McPhee, which, you know, was clear for everyone in the stadium to see. Scotland took a free kick short. It then led to Germany breaking up the park, almost scoring. Austin McPhee, of course, is the set-piece coach for Scotland. So the two of them did have a bit of a set too on the touchline. It did look pretty serious. He was asked about that, and he sort of, you know, quipped back straight away at the journalist that asked the question, said, you know, is that a serious question? A few other questions, you know, no more than 5-6 word answers. But then at the end, he was almost sort of inviting more questions to just kind of bat them off again. It did look as if the result had really got to him. He wasn't happy at all. I think he'll maybe wake up this morning and, you know, he'll want to have a sort of fresh set of eyes on what he saw last night. He'll have a bit of a clearer head, and then we'll see what happens going forward. But yeah, Steve Clarke was certainly very angry last night, whether that was to do with decisions he'd made, whether it was to do with what he'd seen from his own players, whether it was just the overall situation and the scoreline. But yeah, he'll very quickly need to reset ahead of this game on Wednesday.
There we are. Thank you to Andrew McLean in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, which is where the Scotland team are based at the moment. So luckily it's quiet, because it's certainly not here in Munich. Still a sensational number of Scottish fans, even in the fan zone today, watching this game and going about their business. The Scotland players have got no choice but to get the heads right, as they say, Mark Wilson, because that is the beauty of an international tournament. We forget that, because we don't get too many. You get your three games, you're there, you try and enjoy it, try and embrace it. You can lose the game, you can lose the first game and still do something, but if you allow the scars from the first game to really stay and damage you, then that's an issue.
Yeah, you'll quickly unravel and you'll be home before you know it, or most of these fans will be home on Wednesday evening or Thursday. And that is the difficult thing. You think what Andrew's describing there and what Steve Clarke's got on his plate, he's got a bunch of disappointed players and backroom staff, but not a lot of time to work with them again, because, you know, some are doing recovery, some are doing their own things, some will be doing a wee bit extra. Okay, they'll all be together tomorrow and probably Monday as well, but then Tuesday, match day minus one, it'll be a very light session, and that's also probably going to be a travel day as well. So you've only really got two real days to come up with something and really work on the game plan that you've got against Switzerland, because that's got to take a different shape from the game, or whatever game plan it was against Germany last night. We were actually struggling to work out what the game plan was last night, but it's got to take a different form. Switzerland, different team, we've got to have a go at them, we really have, and that will be one or two changes, obviously one in force with Portis, but I believe Gilmore will be in there, and I just wonder if Shankland will take his spot up front. Is Morey a threat to go?
Right, keep those calls coming, 0141 951 1025. So many Scottish fans here though in the fan park in Munich, it would be crazy not to hear what they made of things. We've got Lewis, who joins us on the show now. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, all good, thanks.
How much has last night ruined your experience, or are you still going strong?
It's a little from column A, a little from column B. It was disappointing, but not unexpected, let's be honest. There is a golfing class between the two teams, but I mean, our tournament really is going to be these next two games. I think even coming in, Switzerland and Hungary, these are the two games we've got to be targeting, taking something from.
Are you worried though that the nature of last night's defeat and how bad the performance was reduces our chances ultimately in the next two games?
A little bit, but not overly concerned. I mean, obviously we'll have to tweak it. I mean, I'd expect we'll see Gilmore coming back in for one, and obviously there'll be another enforced change with Porteous dropping out. But yeah, I mean, still hopeful, but stopping short of being like massively confident.
I think what's interesting, because we'll never really know, that I think there's definitely a possibility that Billy Gilmore would have come back in anyway. Do you feel like,
yeah, I was slightly surprised he didn't start, to be honest.
So it might not be as a reaction to last night, Gordon. It might be that horses for courses. Steve Clarke always thought that he would leave him out of this one and bring him in the next one.
I totally agree with that. I think he'll have a game plan for the three games coming up, especially the first two, because obviously in the back of our minds we thought, well, it's a difficult opening fixture. It's the host, it's Germany, top quality side, we may lose it. So everything will be geared up towards Wednesday night, Switzerland. You might look at, he's thinking about Gilmore, Mark touched on it, Shanklin, it's a different type of game. We're looking to create probably chances on Wednesday night. He's a goal scorer. I'm not too concerned about the physical side. I know that we played with 10 men last night, but we've got a few days now to rest, get together. it's the damage that was done, Gordon, because we did not perform. None of our players performed to their best last night.
What disappointed you most, Lewis, about the performance last night?
I think we were just a little bit timid, really. I mean, yeah, just we were a little bit timid. We weren't aggressive enough. I mean, obviously the last qualifying campaign, the main highlight was the Spain game, and if you look at the game plan for that, we were right in their faces from the get-go, pressing them really high, and I think we lost a little bit of that last night. I mean, obviously we are down a few key bodies, but still, yeah, we were a little bit timid to begin with.
Lewis, you're a good man. Thanks for taking the time. Where are you? What's your plan? Are you staying around?
We're in Munich until Monday, and then we're getting a train across to Dusseldorf. We've got tickets for Austria v France, actually. And
nice.
Then we're in Cologne from Wednesday onwards for the Scotland game against Switzerland. And then we're going down to Stuttgart. We've got tickets for the Hungary game as well. And then the plan is to fly back Monday. That's the plan. We've got flights booked. Whether we take them is very much dependent on how these next two games go.
Brilliant. Lewis, you're a good man. Thanks again for joining us. That was Lewis live in the fan park here. You can join us on the phones on the traditional method on 01419511025. And we'll speak to you next.
Live from Munich, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan. We're live from Munich right throughout the group stages, of course. And today, what a venue, what a setting. This is not a criticism of Clydebank that we love dearly, but right here in the Olympic Park in Munich, the Olympic Stadium in the background, the big screen on with the other game in our group. It is a fantastic venue. And interestingly, on the TV screen, we're seeing Switzerland leading Hungary by 2-0. Gordon Dalziel, and blowing apart any idea that Hungary would be the tougher of the two sides. This has been a really impressive Swiss performance far.
I've been watching bits of it, Gordon, while we've been, you know, in the adverts and everything, and I've got to say, Switzerland look a real top-quality side. They've just scored another goal. They're a terrific goal. And we play them on Wednesday. So if there's any information getting out there in Scotland, lads, is we'll have to be up for it. We cannot put a performance in like last night, because this is going to be a tough, tough game for us.
You think the players will be watching this as well? You know, they're seeing these two teams firsthand. They're trying to get an idea of who they're going to be up against. But I've got to say, they're going to be impressed with what Switzerland have served up in this first 45 minutes. Two very good goals. And the Swiss always do well to get to tournaments, but in recent history they always seem crumble. Doesn't look like they're up for crumbling in this tournament here in Germany. So it's going to be another tough one come Wednesday night.
01419511025 is the number. James in Springburn has dialed. What did you make of it last night, James?
Absolutely garbage. Garbage. Can I speak to Gordon and Mark, if you don't mind?
Yeah, they're all
Gordon.
Here.
Yeah. Gordon, you turning in and said what? Is that, the team that was playing last night that he picked, mm-hmm. but the team that you would have put on, you would have put in, you would have played, correct?
I thought he picked the right side at the start, yes.
Right, so as an ex-manager, I'm not a player, I'm not an ex-pro, I'm not an ex-manager, but when I seen that system last night when they showed it on the TV, I said, what the hell is he playing it? Why did we not just play 4-4-2? Why did they not play Shanklin and Shea Adams up front and let Shea Adams come back just to help the midfield now and again and link up with Shanklin? Why? He's going to have a good... Wait a minute, Gordon, sorry. He has to have a good look at himself and turn and say he got the tactics totally wrong, and we didn't even score a goal. It was a bloody OG that turned the telly off. When it was 4-0.
James, let's be realistic though, right? He deserves criticism for various things, I'm sure. Why on earth would Steve Clarke just randomly play 4-4-2 last night? We just qualified for this tournament. Every good performance we've ever put in under Steve Clarke has been right in the back. Why on earth would you just change it?
But listen, I understand that when he was done the qualifying, he was done brilliant. There's no taking that away from Stevie Clarke. But when you're playing in an opening game, now, if you're going to get beat, but try and show something to these Scottish fans that have went away earlier and gear them something to turn and say, well, at least we tried. That team last night just looked totally out of it. They just did not want to even dare. Another thing, too, was they're turning in to say that I'm a big Liverpool fan. I like Andy Robertson, but he should never be the captain. That either should go to McGinn or McGregor. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
It just feels like... everybody's hurting, everybody's disappointed. So we're picking these sort of random ways to lash out. What difference would John McGinn being captain over Andy Robertson have made last night? And
4-4-2. It was never going to happen, Gordon, because you're right. He's got the system at 3-5, and then obviously the box in the middle and Christie off the Adams. But it didn't work. And you can talk about captains, you can talk about individual players. As a team last night, we were a shambles. I think tactically got it wrong, 100%. I will give him criticism for that, because I thought at once time in the game, I'm looking at McGinn, he doesn't know when to press, where to press. The back men are up so high that the Germans are just running in behind. They've got terrific players that can find the passes. They were causing us all sorts of problems. To be fair, the game was probably away at 2-0. He changed it and he put Christie up a little bit towards Adams to try and stop it and got up the pitch. They were not at it, but I thought the Germans set the tone of the game. I thought they got tactically spot on, the way they went about the business, they controlled the pace of the game, and it was a comfortable night for them.
It's a scattergun approach when you get a result like that going against you, that people start just throwing, you know, criticism for the sake of criticism. Just change the shape. 4-4-2 would have been more successful, but it wouldn't have been. It's Scotland midfield four would have just been outnumbered even worse than it, and it would have went worse than it looked. Scotland couldn't keep possession of the ball, so if you're playing two up front, how does that fall? You can't get the ball in them because we couldn't keep the ball. An Andy Robertson thing, well, look, we're lucky enough to have a team full of leaders. You know, we've got Andy Robertson there, who's our captain. You've got John McGinn, who's a captain. He's right. Cal McGregor, you know, and some of the other boys who've led their teams throughout the years. Just the problem was, we looked shell-shocked last night. We looked out our depth a bit. Well, they looked like the weight of the country were on the players' shoulders, and they didn't perform. Now, I'm trying to be positive as I can about this and get into Wednesday night. At least they would have got, or they've got a real grasp of how disappointing that was. They'll do their analysis today. They'll be sitting probably watching this, but then they can analyse their own performance and they'll get a grasp of the supporters. Shows like our own, social media now, they'll know how deflated the Tartan Army are after last night. That can only serve to do us good, surely, getting into the next game.
Because that's the problem, James, isn't it? Is it? I take it you're not feeling too optimistic about the next two games after seeing that last night.
No chance. No chance. There's no chance in hell where we qualify, because we could have actually got, we could have got something out of that game if we played to our strengths and our advantage. And you're talking about, Mark's talking about the captaincy role there. McGregor's the captain of Celtic. Now, I'm not a big Celtic fan, right? But he's a captain of Celtic. He's won stuff under as a captain. McGinn, he's not won anything under being the captain of Aston Villa, but he's a captain of that team. Robertson's not the captain of Liverpool. He's not even a vice captain. He's third in line behind Trent Alexander. So why not just give it to the somebody who's won it?
James, at what point are you doing this? So does Andy Robertson get the praise for captaining Scotland to the tournament, but then a week before the tournament starts, he just decide to take it off? And
I wouldn't have had Andy. I wouldn't have had Andy Robertson as a captain qualifying. I don't. He's no captain material. I've watched him play for Liverpool.
James, the point is though, if it wasn't a problem in qualifying, we're just making things up now as potential fixes to a problem that probably doesn't exist.
No, you're not listening to what I'm trying to say.
Andy Robertson being the captain, Andy Robertson being Scotland's captain, clearly was not a problem in qualifying, was it?
No, I'm not saying it wasn't a problem. I would never have had him as a captain. I would have had him as a vice captain of Scotland. That would have been it. Until he can actually take care. But at the same time, I would either had McGregor or McGinn, because they show more guts than anything else. I've seen Andy Robertson playing for Liverpool, and he's a bit hot-headed sometimes, and he gets the tournament, or whatever tournament he's in, whether it's a European Cup or, sorry, Champions League, the Premier League, sometimes it just gets to him. McGinn and McGregor, no. That's why I'm trying to say the captain should be able to
keep his seat. You said that about McGinn and McGregor last night, though. They were as poor as any player on that
Lushin,
pitch.
Lushin, Mark, I quite agree.
A bit push for time. I'll need to nip it there, I'm afraid, because we're fast approaching this break. But I must say, we had a whole host of problems last night. A lot of them.
We should have worn the away strip.
I don't know if that was one of them. But the reason that we need to very quickly get towards Beat the Pundit time is because we've got a special announcement for you.
What's that?
Before we even
I can see it all in your faces. There's something going on that I'm not quite happy about. Yous are excited. I don't look excited.
I'm super excited because you may remember yesterday on Clyde One Breakfast, we spoke to George and Cassie, and they said that they had set a challenge with you two, and there was a forfeit attached.
Right.
Okay. And what you didn't realise is that we were just going to sort of hide the challenge, see who was a real team player on this trip. Now, this morning, we, as a team, every one of us, organised a walking tour of Munich. We wanted to go and see the sights, soak in a bit of culture, learn something about the local area, try and educate ourselves. And the only person that didn't come was you.
It was Mark.
And you used lots of sweary words to describe what you thought of the walking tour. You called us all sorts of insulting names for not coming. And with that, you secured yourself as the loser of the challenge between you and Mark Wilson for not being a team player. And I want you to look over your right shoulder.
Yeah.
Because
there's a mountain there.
There is a big lake here.
Going to name that mountain after you in the Scotland team camp when you're up at.
There is a big lake here in the fan zone.
You see that?
And there is a zip line that goes from the top right the way down to the bottom.
You think I'm getting on that?
You are going on that.
No, I'm not.
At 5:45 local time. You are going to abseil down there and we are going to film you.
It's quite high,
watch you. How do you feel about that?
I'm not feeling the love for that at all.
Over the lake as well.
A Boris Johnson one too.
If I get stuck in. Not a chance that's happening.
But genuinely, this has been weeks in the making. It is booked. It's 5:45 local time. You are
seriously.
You're ziplining down there over that lake.
You'll be alright.
A pantomime villain here or something. What are you all about?
Get you a wetsuit in case you fall off that into that lake.
What happens if that stops halfway down and I'm dangling over that lake?
It won't stop.
Make
it'll be fine. It'll be fine. But anyway, we've got that to look forward to. In the meantime, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time at 3 o'clock or whatever it is on a Saturday afternoon. We don't often do this, but let's have a bit of fun. 01419511025. We're in a two-hour format like we would be midweek, so why not? Let's play Beat the Pundit. If you want to take on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL, now is the time to call. 01419511025 and the lines close after the news.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Munich, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yeah, welcome back to the fan zone here at the Olympic Park in Munich. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson joining me, Gordon Duncan, as we reflect on a bitterly disappointing night for Scotland in that Euros opener, hammered by Germany, down to 10 men, and with no option but to pick ourselves back up and go again, which looks like that will be tough as well, because Switzerland leading Hungary by 2-0 currently in the other game in our group. We're watching it here in the fan zone. We are taking your calls as normal on 01419511025. We're here for about another hour or so, and we're getting live reaction from the fan zone here in Munich as well. So do keep your calls coming if you're back at home. If you're just joining us, we've also announced that as soon as the show finishes, Gordon DL, our very own James Bond / Boris Johnson, is going to
Boris Bond
is going to zip line across the lake here at the Olympic Park. We set the guys a challenge, then the loser had to pay the price and take part in the forfeit, and obviously there was always going to be one loser. So Gordon DL is going to zip line across that lake after the show finishes. You have had a bit of time to digest it. How are you feeling?
A bit nervous, to be honest with you. That's a bit high.
It is indeed high.
What happens if my good trainer's getting that lake?
He's got the new trainers on as well. He was showing his all. He's a legend of them, isn't he?
I'm good. I need to take my trainers off. I'm not losing them in there. They were too expensive.
Anyway, more of that nonsense to come. We want to talk football as well. Do you know what? It's just to try and make people smile a bit, try and cheer up. There was not a lot to cheer after last night, but the sight of Gordon Dalziel with a tight harness on, wedgie, these expensive trainers hanging on for their lives as he goes across that lake is going to cheer me right up. But keep your calls coming and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time on a Saturday afternoon. It's a strange time to do it, but why not? Barry is in Ballonlick, I think. How's it going, Barry?
Not bad, how you doing?
Not bad at all. How was last night from your perspective?
I think it was pretty abysmal. It was just flat football around.
Yeah, abysmal is one word for it. I don't think many would disagree. How's your confidence on Beat the Pundit, Barry?
It's alright, so.
All right, it's a good place to be, I think. Yep. Right, let's toss the Euro if it's heads. Sort of, it'll be Mark Wilson. If it's tails, it'll be Gordon Dalziel. And it is heads. There you are. You're sharing the burden today. Mark can play Beat the Pundit. You can zip line across the lake. No difference there, is there?
I'll swap.
No, I don't think so. I want to see you do it. Let's send Mark Wilson away and make sure that he can't hear what's going on so that Barry has a fair crack at the whip. Barry, it's the same drill as back home. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely fine, okay?
Lovely.
Let's do it. Your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. England will face Serbia at the home of which German team?
Berlin.
Name either country who's won the Euros three times.
France.
Who was France's top scorer in Euro qualifying this time?
Mbappe.
How many groups are at the Euros this year?
Eight.
Which country is making their debuts at the Euro this year?
Georgia.
And true or false, only people whose surname beginning with Mick have scored at a European Championship for Scotland. True or false, only Scottish players whose surnames begin with Mick have scored at a Euros.
False.
Okay, let's bring back Mark Wilson. Come on, Mark, step over, step up to the plate. Let's see what you can come up with. A bit different, obviously, when we play at home, we give the guys some music to listen to here, we just send them away. We just send them for a walk, because we're in...
How did Barry do it?
Oh, brilliant. What was a player. He get 12 out of 10. You ready?
Yes.
Same set of questions to you, Mark Wilson. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. England will face Serbia at the home of which German team?
Schalke.
Name either country who's won the Euros three times.
Germany.
Who was France's top scorer in Euro qualifying?
Mbappe.
How many groups are there at Euro 2024?
Eight.
Which country is making their debut appearance at the Euros this year?
Albania.
True or false? Only Scottish players whose surname begin with Mick have scored at a Euros.
True.
Okay. Barry, what do you think? What's the verdict?
See you later, Barry.
Rolling now.
What was worse, Barry?
He said Scotland.
Your performance or Scotland's last night?
Probably
still say Scotland. I think there won't be much worse than
Scotland. Was he?
Wait another 30 seconds and answer that one.
England will face Serbia at the home of Schalke. 1-0 Mark Wilson. Name either country who's won the Euros three times. You had the choice of Spain or Germany. Mark Wilson goes 2-0 in front. Barry said France. France was relevant for the next question. Of course it was Kylian Mbappe. Yes. How could it not be? One of only a few players who scored more in qualifying than Scott McTominay. He got 9, Kylian Mbappe. So three to Mark Wilson, 1 to Barry. You both said 8 groups. There are only 6. Remains. The country that's making the debut at the Euros this year is Georgia, and Barry got it.
Has Albania been in this before?
He's pulled one back, 3-2. And true or false, only Scotsmen whose surnames begin with Mick have scored at a Euros. Barry said false.
That's true.
Mark said true. It is true.
Yes!
Would you believe?
McCoist.
McStay. McClair, McAllister, McCoist and McGregor. No one else has scored for Scotland. I don't think we'll...
McRudiger.
McRudiger doesn't count, so we're fine. And that was the end of it. It was a fairly convincing win for you in the end. Mark Wilson, hard lines, Barry.
That's fine.
Good man, Barry. You take care.
Cheers,
you up, Barry. That's fine. Okay.
Mark Munson. 100%
record out here in Germany.
Oh, no, yeah. You're flying, like, too.
Tonight is looking up for you, because I know Scotland were rotten, right? But you've just won it, beat the pundit. And Gordon Dale's about to zip line across the lake here.
What a day.
In the Olympic Park. We are going to watch.
Cannot get much better. I'm full of optimism. I was disappointed last night going to bed, and we didn't get into bed to the back of one by the time we got home. So it was a disappointing night, but I've had a lovely day. Out in Munich, getting a bit of culture, in this fan zone, wind beat the pundit, going to see this guy dangling from the zip line, hopefully getting stuck above the lake.
If the weather changes, that'll be cancelled, mate. That's too high.
Oh, that'll be on. Don't you worry. That is something to look forward to. Do you know what I have to say, and it pains me to say it? I feel like Mark Wilson's actually had quite a good Euros, personally, because we never got the chance to share the anecdotes from the celebrity party that we went to the other night. I don't even know if you remember this, because you were, shall we say, not at full match fitness.
I was okay.
On the night, and certainly not the following day.
Oh, the following day I wasn't
so
okay.
So the memories of that celebrity party we went to will be a bit hazy for you, yeah?
What about him? He's the same.
I know, but he remembers this, because he's going to write this stuff down and remember it forever. And unfortunately...
I don't need to.
Unfortunately, I do remember. And I've been torn all the last couple of days as to whether to share it or not, because this is going to feed this guy's ego like never before, right? This place was full of legends, as we said. You know, Sir Alex was there. We had recent favourites, James McFadden and Darren Fletcher. It wasn't just football. Travis performed.
The racing driver.
David Coulthard was there. That's right. I thought.
Fucking faster than the bend.
And you remember years ago, Mark Wilson tried to claim to us on the show that at schoolboy level, he was the captain of Scotland schoolboys, and Darren Fletcher had to take orders off of him.
Yeah.
So Darren Fletcher walks over. And I said, Darren, I need to find out once and for all, were you the captain? And I didn't even finish the sentence. He was aware of this as like being a thing. He was aware of this as being a story.
Big fan of the show.
And he said to Mark, he grabbed Mark Wilson and he was calling him captain.
El Capitano, he was calling me.
I wonder it was a free bar.
And it got even worse, because Darren Fletcher says that he got moved to right back so that Mark Wilson could play in that central midfield role that everyone wants to play
in.
Can
you believe that?
So the question would be, where did it all go wrong?
Oh, well, like, I showed Darren Fletcher everything they know in you in terms of leadership, in terms of how to play centre midfield, and I just opened the floodgates and allowed them to go. I mean, I was happy with just playing in Scotland, but there you go. Oh, I should take a lot of credit for Fletcher's credit.
I'm not buying that anyway. But
do you honestly think I'm making that up?
I promise,
right? And see, at the end of the night, honestly, he was leaving, because he's got twin sons and they play for Man United. They were with him. I'm pretty sure he was sober and he was walking out. You two were in an interesting state of mind by then. And as he walked out, he leaned over and said, "Look after my captain."
Do you like that? And then I was on to my other one, Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane shouted us over.
He did.
We were chatting about soccer aid and all that.
Robbie Keane and I thought, he'll not remember you, will he, from his Celtic day. Next thing, Robbie Keane turns round and says, "Willow." Brings him over, buys him a drink.
Known by everybody.
I'm now thinking he's more famous than you, basically, after this the other night.
I only met Big Derek Fiscal Bride. apart from that was it. Well, to be fair, I was talking to Sean Connery at one point.
No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't. I'm trying to think of famous Scottish.
You definitely had too much to drink.
You were 80 bucks in a taxi and never even get home.
Oh, can I find my way back? Yeah, James McFadden. Had James McFadden negotiate with the taxi driver?
I think we need to move on after your faux pas. I was going to say go back to the phones, because that's the habit that we have in here. But of course, we're actually joined live by Martin, who's with us. How are you, Martin?
Good night. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you from?
Aberdeen.
And how bad was last night?
It was pretty miserable result, but we had a good night.
Still a good night, even after how bad that was.
Aye, so we got a tuk-tuk from Marion Platz, and we were out till 4:30 with some German techno.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Sounds like an old bad night.
I've not been to bed yet.
Really?
I'm a bit worried.
You're exactly the guy we want on here.
I'm worried about how the rest of this segment goes, but you seem okay. So seriously, not been to bed since last night?
I got a good like hour and a half.
That's just like me with his snoring.
That's
by the
one way to deal with the defeat. So can you remember the defeat? Do you know what it went wrong?
Oh, it was brutal. But like, obviously, when to be honest, we just didn't play well at all. Like, there was absolutely no chances created, nothing. I just think they overran us. But you've got to be optimistic to think, put that one to bed and we'll get on to the next two games. And I think we can get 6 points out of the next two games.
The thing about that, Mark, is I can understand why people listen and say, oh, how can you just say you just put that to bed? But you don't actually have any choice. It's fine for us to moan and whinge and whatever. There is absolutely no choice. It's tournament football. I know we're not used to it. I know we don't get there very often. Maybe that's what's doing it. But any hurt has to be parked.
Yeah, well, at the elite level, that's what you need to do. I mean, it's your job here to come and analyse what went on. Why did it end up that way? And how do we think can things get better? And the supporters will chip in with that. But when you're in that camp with Steve Clark and the rest of the players, they have to just put it behind them and move on. You know, they just can't, you know, keep that in your head that how bad things were. You're only going to take that negativity with you into the next game. So, of course, they'll analyse it on the screen, but it's so important that they just put it behind them and put all their full concentration on Switzerland, who I'm certain they'll be watching at the minute.
I'm sorry, I just keep remembering Gordon Dale's apparent recollection from the party the other night. And of all the stupid things you've said on the show, it was one of the worst. I tried to just move on, but it's got me. It's come back to me a couple of minutes later.
I was just struggling for me.
Definitely didn't see Sean Connery. Have we established that now?
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Are you sharing a room with him?
I'm sharing a room with him. I didn't see Sean Connery, I'll tell you that.
Can we not? Can we seriously just move on? Martin, there's a lot being said. I mean, you won't have heard. We've had callers on. We've gone everything from team selection was wrong and should have picked Billy Gilmore, which is, I think, certainly understandable to a point. Yeah. We should have played a different formation. We've had Andy Robertson shouldn't be captain. There's a lot of negativity out there. How do we make sure that it is better in the next couple of games?
The biggest one for me is I think that Gilmore has to play the next game. I think that if we can anchor the midfield with Gilmore and McGregor, and I'd like to play McTominay and McGinn ahead of them, and then obviously try to use the wing-backs. Obviously, to be honest, I would actually like to see James Forrest as a wing-back on the right.
Maybe
him and Robertson, because like unlike Germany, where obviously we were going to be against it, I think we can go and attack in the next game, and with that kind of wing-back, because he played for Celtic, I think it was under Neil Lennon, there was like a small period where he played like three at the back, and he put Forrest as a kind of wing-back, and I think that would actually work quite well for us. But
again, hindsight's great, Gordon. I consider myself amongst Billy Gilmore's biggest fans, and always kept an eye, and I always think he's been brilliant for Scotland. I think we said it before the game last night, though, but I think there's got to be a level of sympathy for Steve Clarke, because Ryan Christie has had a brilliant season for Bournemouth, and he's completely different from the rest. He's a lot more mobile. The legs, look, it didn't work. That's fine, so you can criticise Steve Clarke for that, but let's remember what hindsight can do. It's not like it was a wild, crazy decision that he's left out Billy Gilmore to play someone who's playing at a much lesser level. You could see the sense in it, but it didn't work, and now Steve Clarke has to make up for it, so to speak.
Yeah, that's when you come in for the criticism, Gordon. If you get your team selection, I said it before the game, I liked the fact that Christie was in there. He's a terrific player. He could give us that energy, try and get up and support Adams. Now, we're all big Billy Gilmore fans, of course we are. He's a terrific young talent, lad. And maybe Steve Clarke has looked at this tournament and thought, right, okay, I'll start with Christie in the opening game and Gilmore will come in Wednesday night. So there will be one or two changes. Very interesting. That's not the first time I've heard supporters talking about Forrest as a right wing back. It'll be interesting to see if he goes with that. Will it be Shanklin, Adams on Wednesday night? Now, as much as we're all hopeful that we can bounce back on Wednesday, I'm looking out the corner of my eye here and I'm keeping an eye on this game. And the Swiss look absolutely terrific. They look a good side to me.
And another thing, Mark, I think there's an onus on us to strike a balance. We can't just keep sort of bemoaning the injuries, but at the same time, you can't pretend it doesn't exist. If we're going to talk about Billy Gilmore and how he should have played last night because he's good on the ball and he's confident and he's tidy on it, Aaron Hickey is one of the more comfortable with the ball at his feet, sort of right backs in that regard, but, you know, in terms of keeping possession that you could see. And maybe we're overlooking that. Maybe we're forgetting the type of loss that we've suffered in that area.
Such a big player, Nathan Patterson as well. You take
he's more of a ball carrier, though, isn't he? That's where those two differ.
Yeah, but we just didn't have an outlet on that right-hand side last night. You could quite clearly see it in the opening stages where Anthony Ralston was getting the ball fed out to him. He was getting closed down so quickly, but he didn't have anybody ahead of him to hit. And quite often he was closed down or he would turn back. Again, I have to agree, I don't think James Forrest is a bad shout. Now, I don't think it would have worked last night purely because who he was up against, the opposition, who would have been playing against him. But I think in terms of the Swiss game, if you want more territory higher up the pitch, James Forrest can certainly carry the ball for you. Is it much different wing-back to playing where James has played? Slightly, but he's used to hugging that touchline. He's used to taking up those positions. He's usually very good at tracking back when he plays right here three up front. So you're only asking him maybe to adjust his starting position by about 10 yards. And you then give yourself that outlet, and a real ball carrier and a threat in behind as well. So I'd be surprised if Steve Clark wasn't considering something along those lines for Wednesday rather than Anthony Ralston.
So still finding a bit of optimism, Martin?
Oh, of course, you've got to. As we said there, like, we do have to just park it. It's difficult, but we just need to move on. I don't know, like, to be honest, we were very optimistic, but we weren't expecting to beat Germany or even get a result out of that. We've got to just park it, and I think we've got to concentrate in the next two games, although watching this game, I think Wednesday's going to be difficult. Yeah. So.
Good man, Martin, thank you for joining us. Yes, Switzerland 2-0 up against Hungary. Hungary did just miss a golden opportunity. Switzerland could have been further ahead before that, so it's going to be an interesting few days for sure. 0141 951 1025 if you want to join in on the phones. Now's the time to call, and we'll get you next.
Live from Munich, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard live from the fan park here in Munich. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. The nerves are starting to jangle for Gordon Dalziel because he's looking over the lake. He is seeing someone right now. There he is, coming down on that zip line right across the lake, and that is going to be you in round about an hour and 20 minutes time.
There's always going to be one that's going in that lake, and I guarantee the person it's going to be.
Less importantly, Hungary have pulled one back, Mark, which is probably what we want. A nice wee draw in that game would probably suit Scotland. Very difficult to tell. They can kick lumps out each other if they want as well, but Switzerland were really comfortable. They were 2-0 up. They could have probably made it 3, but it is now 2-1 to the Swiss, so maybe fingers crossed for a Hungarian equaliser.
Well, I hope so. Switzerland looked very good, very accomplished in the first 45, got themselves in front with two decent goals, but don't look the same force in the second half in Hungary. They've got a good goal themselves, so let's hope they can get an equaliser, and that'll put us in good shape and not out of touch.
I've got to say, Gordon, just watching parts of this game, we will have to be our best. We cannot perform the way we performed last night. I know that Germany were excellent, but you look at this Swiss team, they look very sharp. Hungary in the second half, I think Mark's right. I think they've been the better side as well. So there's no easy games coming up. So Steve Clark has got a massive job from now until Wednesday. Get these players organised, get them up for it, get the right team out there, and let's get our Euros going.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Michael is in Greenock. How are you, Michael?
Hi, mate. Not bad, yourself?
Not bad, Michael. I'm seeing a bit of a split here. I feel like fans that are here, because they're full of, well, maybe full of German beer, but, you know, they've paid their money and they've come over, they seem to be feeling a bit more optimistic than fans back home on the phones. But how are you feeling?
Well, mate, I'm half and half, because I'm flying out on Thursday at 3 in the morning. So, but to be honest, mate, I'm just getting a bit fed up listening to all the negativity. See, when you really look at it, it was a really bad night against a phenomenal team. We've got two games against weaker teams. I know they're still good, but, you know, they're a lot weaker than Germany. So for people to throw in the towel and say we should change manager, change formation, change captain, like, come on. It was just a really bad night, and all around it just wasn't a good night. But we should be used to these kind of nights. But got to be optimistic in the next two games.
Yeah, it was a really bad night, Mark, because the thing about the sending off, or the thing about the start of the game is it's made people I think it has made people brush over the sending off a little bit, and I get why, because I am not, for the avoidance of doubt, suggesting that if we kept 11 men, we win the game or get anything from the game. It didn't look like we would, but I think because it was so bad at the start, we're almost acting like, well, you can't use the red card as any sort of excuse. But of course, when you go 3-0 down and get someone sent off before half-time, you're in territory of let's make sure we don't get absolutely humiliated here.
Yeah, and I know Germany had so many chances, it could have added to it, but the 10 men that were on the pitch actually, I thought, closed the spaces much better than they did when we had 11. So we're a wee bit more condensed in that. But the way we started it was so poor, and it was a combination. You know, again, I'm going back to, I don't think we got our tactics correct on the night, and that's, I very rarely say that about Steve Clark because I think he's very well organised. I thought, I keep going back to it, the press was a bit disjointed at times, and then individually, you look at those players individually, every one of them underperformed. So if you get a combination of that, you're in real trouble. You then add in you're playing against a top class German side with world class players, then you're going to concede like we did last night. But look, the call makes a good point that it is negative. I think everybody had a fair idea that this was going to be our toughest game. We may have come out of this with zero, which we have done, but we've got to put it behind us. The players have got to put it behind us, and the Tartan Army have got to get right back behind the team. They are going to need the fans. I said it earlier, the players have gave the fans so many memorable moments, and even getting here and taking this level of support to Germany, that's a great moment. But the players need the support to be with them on Wednesday night also, to feel like everybody's pulling in the right direction again. That's the best opportunity of getting a result.
I wonder if the order of things has led to the mood, Gordon. It's incredible to think we qualified too easily, if that's the point I'm trying to make. See, if we'd made a slow start to qualifying, then finished like a train, and then gone into this tournament in a real bit of form. But it feels like the teams, as well as they did to qualify, what that's then meant is it's not really shown that much form recently.
Yeah, our form's been poor, and we've been leaking goals, which isn't a good sign getting into a tournament, Gordon. I think it's negative because of the overall performance. Look, I think that if we'd have got anything last night, we were talking to a lot of supporters there, hopeful, or take a draw. Of course we would have. But that German side were just at it. Yeah, they were up for it. They've got quality players. We played right into their hands. We've got to put that behind us now because we have got a massive game on Wednesday night. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure Steve Clark and his players, I was out today having a walk, and I met John McGinn's brother Paul, and we were having a chat. The players know how much the supporters are hurt and how they've let them down. So hopefully they can get together, the country can get together, and Wednesday let's get a positive result. But watching this is going to be difficult.
Yeah, for sure, no doubt about that. I mean, Michael, you're confident that can be done, that, you know, the players don't hurt too much and don't kind of carry the baggage from last night?
It's going to deflate them, obviously, but again, look at the amount of people that are over there now. Again, I'll be travelling over. I've got a ticket for the last game. Actually, I had a ticket for last night, but I sold it to one of my pals, so no doubt he's wanting a refund. But I'm optimistic that we'll do it. We've got a decent squad there. Maybe change it up a wee bit. I thought Christie would have played and Gilmour would have played last night. I thought Gilmour would have played last night and Christie would have maybe played the next game or the third game, but Gilmour's got to come in, and it's just another game, so just start fresh and got off to a good start. It can't be any worse. We can't play any worse than last night, so got off to a good start, and hopefully we can get minimum 4 points at the next two. But I'm waiting for, I can't wait to go over there. Seeing all yous over there has made me incredibly jealous. It looks unreal despite the result.
That is the thing, Mark, and no feeling of negativity will change that too much. It's a shame how last night went, because the feeling around the place yesterday is, it's like nothing I've ever experienced. I don't think I ever will experience again. Even being here today at the fan zone, this is an unbelievable experience for everyone. So need just the team to try and match it, even a bit of that.
Yeah, but it's amazing how 90 minutes can change a mood. You know, the optimism getting into that game for the couple of days we were in that square, you know, everybody up for it, and then how deflated people were last night after the game, hugely disappointed. But think about a lot of the people we spoke to here today have said the same thing. They were disappointed, they had a long night last night, but they're looking forward to the next game. Now, you imagine if we get a positive result, on Wednesday evening, what we're going to be feeling on Thursday, what we're going to be chatting about on this show, the callers, what they're going to be saying about it, it'll be the total opposite. So that's what 90 minutes can do for you. It can change the mood of a full country. And yes, we are deflated a bit from last night, but we have to get on the up again in preparation for Wednesday.
Just wonder, Gordon, about individuals. None of them played well, so that it's not like it's just one or two that will be feeling low. But I mean, I don't know, take Angus Gunn as an example. He's obviously not played at this level before. And I take the point, most maybe haven't played at a big Euros like this, but he won't have that sort of English Premier League experience that some of the so-called big hitters have, European, and he probably had quite a... Maybe just the first goal. When you concede five, it's never easy. I'm not saying there were howlers or anything all over the place, far from it, but he'll be disappointed with the first, won't
he? Yeah. As a goalkeeper, he certainly will, Gordon. We looked at it last night and we all agreed that for a goalkeeper of that quality playing a tournament, especially early on, you've really got to save that. But not one player for me get past Marks, which means all the players are together now. They realise as a group, going out there last night, they've let themselves down, they've let everybody down. Look, they didn't go out there purposely to play bad and get beat 5-1 and come off of there. It must have been a long, long night for them. Their families were there, the build-up to it. The Tartan Army are over here in hundreds of thousands. The atmosphere's terrific. But it was a poor, poor night. It really was from everyone concerned. And you can even take into the consideration that Steve Clarke will take a bit of responsibility. He may look at that and think, I got one or two things wrong last night. The most important thing is you need to get it right for Wednesday night. Yeah, Wednesday night is so important.
Because I know that's part of it, Mark. You're a professional footballer. You're at the highest level. If you do good things, you deserve the praise. If you do bad things, you deserve the criticism. So that's fine, but I mean, I wonder how Ryan Portis is feeling this morning.
Yeah, it's hard to think because, like, I was sent off once in my career, but wasn't it in a game as important as that with the full country, the eyes of your country? You can get sent off for your club, and obviously your fan base are disappointed with you and your team. When you get sent off for your country in such a high-profile game, at such an important time of the game, and you've kind of thrown your teammates under the bus as well, then you must be feeling awful. So, like, sympathies with Ryan Portis because, again, he doesn't intentionally go there to be sent off and let everybody down. But it's the situation he finds himself in. He'll need to brush it off. We'll go back to what I said earlier. He obviously won't play in the Switzerland game through suspension. I'm not sure he'll get back in. I think we've got enough cover in that area, and that'll be the most disappointing thing for Ryan Portis.
So what's the plan, Michael? What's the travel itinerary looking like?
So leaving for Edinburgh Airport at 3 in the morning, Thursday night going into Friday morning, then we fly to Zurich and then Zurich to Stuttgart. I'm staying in Stuttgart, so it's not the worst. I've seen a lot of horror stories about going to Morocco and whatever else, so it's not as bad as that, and I'll have a few pints, shall we say, in the airport, so I'm looking forward to it. Cannot wait to go over there.
Make sure you come and say hello to Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson when you get there, will you?
Absolutely. If he survives, is it blind?
That's true. He might be at the bottom of this lake here in the Olympic Park. Great point. Thanks to Michael from Greenock. We'll see you soon, hopefully. Take care.
Guys.
I'm telling you, you missed a bit of culture on that walk this morning, walking tour of Munich. We learned some great facts.
Did you? Give us one.
About beer.
Beer garden. Do you know where the term beer garden came from?
No, go on.
Oh, but you should have came to the tour.
God, tell us.
Educate him.
Yeah. Well, it was when they took beer, they dug into the ground
before the days of refrigeration.
So they stored their beer under there, but then they grew trees, chestnut trees above it, because they've got big leaves to make it cooler on the ground, so people would come and get the beer.
Fascinating. I'd rather get in that lake.
That's what you missed.
I would rather get in that lake than listen to that story again.
And how many types of beer?
In Munich,
seven. Seven types of beer.
Seven
brewers. It's the seven brewers, and that's it.
Fancy
seven
trying,
brewers
fancy
of trying Germany. I think we tried them the other night.
What else did we learn? I think that's a bit.
There wasn't a lot of World War II stuff in that.
There was
some stuff, but I think they were steering clear a lot of that stuff. But it was interesting. You would have loved a tour guide, and we walked, 2 miles within that?
He came back into the room, the first thing he said was, what a waste of money that was. Do you know how many beers there are? I went, seven.
What was it you were doing in the room while he was away?
Trying to find the remote control.
Right, I get into the room. Now, how long were we away for? Two and a half hours, something like that. He's lying, like a pencil on the bed, in silence.
I said, are you still in your bed? No. I couldn't find the remote control.
So you just lay there still.
Gordon, I was right beside him, on the unit beside him. I said, there it's there. Oh, I couldn't find that. Just lay in silence for 2 hours.
Gordon time, it was called.
Right, before we go any further, and keep the calls coming in, but especially if you want to take part in this, because we've got your chance to win £100. It could roll over to 200, by the way, with Call Robert by simply guessing the results of tomorrow's game on our pundit predictor. So yesterday, Donna predicted Hungary to beat Switzerland. She's got a bit of work to do, Donna, I have to say, because that game's underway at the moment and it's going the opposite way for you. Spain against Croatia. She went for a Spain win. Hugh went for a Spain win as well. Italy against Albania, and they both went for an Italy win there as well. Now, if Donna gets them right, she wins £100. If not, it rolls over and you could win £200. So all you have to do is predict the correct results, because we've got three games coming up tomorrow: Slovenia against Denmark, Serbia against England, and Poland against the Netherlands. So predict those three games, take on Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, see how you fare. If you call right now, it's 01419511025. Call before the end of this break and we'll talk to you next.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Munich, is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of today's show as we reflect on a really grim night for Scotland in the opener of the Euros. The other game in our group is heating up towards the end. It's still Switzerland 2, Hungary 1. Probably could be doing with a draw, if that's the way you see these things, but running out of time to find that equaliser for Hungary. Still time to squeeze in a call, perhaps, if you want to give us a call from home, and we'll get more live reaction from the fan zone as well. I think it's about to rain here, so I'm looking forward to finishing up. And when we finish, Gordon DL will be ziplining across the lake here in the fan park as well. So lots to look forward to, but let's play this first, because we've teamed up with our pals at Call Robert for the Pundit Predictor, and we want you to predict the results in tomorrow's games for your chance to win £100. It might roll over, of course, to £200. So those games are Slovenia, Denmark, Serbia, England, Poland, Netherlands, and on the line to play we've got John in Coatbridge. How's it going, John?
Hi guys, I hope you're having a good time. Daz, are behaving yourself?
Always, John.
I think you're getting bullied, Daz, on to doing the zip line, but I would love to be there to see it, mate.
Yeah, don't you worry, I'll be filmed.
Don't you worry, plenty of videos and pictures to come. Now, John, I'm going to find out which one of the pundits you're up against. If it's heads, it'll be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. And what a day for you. Not only is abseiling or ziplining or whatever it's called, you'll do the pundit predictor as well against John. So here is the deal. John, give me your prediction for Slovenia against Denmark. All I need is Slovenia win, Denmark win or draw. Don't need a score.
Denmark to win.
Denmark to win. Gordon DL?
Draw.
Draw. Serbia against England, John. Serbia win, England win or draw.
I thought we'd say it, but England to win.
England?
Oh. And Poland against the Netherlands. John, are you going Poland win, Netherlands win or draw?
Netherlands to win.
Netherlands.
You've just guessed the same.
So no, we've not. I've got the first one.
There we go. But anyway, John, if you get them all right, we'll find out if you win that £100 or possibly £200 when we're back on air Monday night from 6. Are you up for that?
Okay, that's brilliant, mate.
Good man, John, you take care. It's all thanks to Call Robert. Let's wait and see Monday night, find out if we're going to get some cash handed out. And remember, this keeps rolling over throughout the group stages, so if we don't get all of them right on this occasion, it rolls on to 2. If John doesn't get them all right, then it rolls on to 3 and so on. We've got Chris, who's with us in the fan park as well. How's it going, Chris?
Very well, thank you.
So very well after last night.
Well, Got to enjoy the experience. The game itself is disappointing, but yeah, enjoying Germany and all it has to offer.
Exactly. What have you been up to? Have you been enjoying Munich?
Very much so, yeah. Just been a bit of wandering about up in the fan park today, taking the rest of the games. Hopefully we'll get an equaliser here.
I know there's a serious point, and obviously Scotland need to up their game, but how good is this for people who are back at home? See this fan park? Chris can tell us, and Mark, I'm sure you'll chip in. How good is this? This is what a proper tournament feels like. Most of us are too young to remember, and of course the last one didn't really count. How good's this been?
it's been amazing, just everyone mingling about it. Even yesterday in Marienplatz, just Scots everywhere, Germans everywhere, everyone talking to each other, great atmosphere, beers flowing, sun was out, just, yeah, and then everyone just watching the games and can't ask for much more.
It's what a proper tournament's meant to feel like, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I've only ever seen this sort of thing on the TV. It's like a proper festival, and, you know, the size of the screen and the kind of amphitheatre that the Grass Hill is creating is quite special, with the backdrop of that zip line that we're going to see Dask going over. What a setting, eh?
What a setting. The zip line.
You're happy with that, mate?
You're looking forward to seeing Gordon Dale zipline across that lake?
End up like Boris Johnson, probably.
Exactly. One cleared off the line late on for Switzerland. Chris, were you at the game last night?
Yeah, it was. Got tickets to all three, thankfully. So,
talk us through how good the atmosphere was, and then what sort of happened when it all went wrong.
I think it was pre-match the best atmosphere at a Scotland game I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone was so excited, and then during the game, first 10 minutes sort of all right. Then Germany starting to pull the strings, getting the space out wide, and then you see the first goal, Kroos's pass out wide, the ball in the middle, he just finds that pocket of space, maybe Gunn could do better, and then they get the quick fire second, and then from there it's back to the wall, and then you're down to 10 men.
Well, we referenced it last night, that stat, and I know not everyone loves stats, but you've got to tip your cap to this one. Toni Kroos attempted 102 passes last night. Even that is a lot to attempt in a game, and he completed 101 of them.
Incredible.
Absolutely outrageous.
And you know what, to add to that as well, Musiala had 100%, I think, pass completion, and scored the goal and had the most touches in an opposition box. So you pair these two together, you're in real trouble if you allow them that time and space. And of course, good players and top players create their own space. Just looked at times that they didn't have to work that hard to find space, but the quality in the ball was just too much for us to try and control. And Chris is right, when Toni Kroos is spraying the ball wide, you're getting stretched yourself. You've seen Andy Robertson, I think it was the first goal, Andy Robertson actually gets pinned in because of the movement. I think it was Musiala took him inside. That just allowed, was it Kimmich that ends up getting the ball in the right hand side, and they're so clever at that. We really struggled with it. And looking at the Swiss team as well, they're not too bad at it themselves, so we need to be much better. Are they going to have to?
Yeah, they've won it. Switzerland have scored the third. That often is the way, of course, when a team's pushing for an equaliser, they leave the back door slightly ajar, and Switzerland have taken advantage, so that shakes things up in Scotland's group. I think there probably was a perception that that was Scotland's best chance of winning a game, but they've looked very good today, Gordon Dale, 3-1.
Right from the kickoff, Gordon, I've been watching the game just out the corner of my ear, and I've got to say, I've been really impressed with them. They've obviously put the icing on the cake, that's 3 points to them. If the Scottish boys are back in the hotel just watching this, they'll realise how difficult a job it's going to be. But we have to show big character, big heart. Steve Clark's got to get the starting 11 right. We've got to get the tactics spot on. And hopefully, with a little bit of luck, we can get our Euros going.
Yeah, Chris, the fans here are still enjoying themselves. That's because of the party. But do you think the football can pick up?
Definitely. Switzerland are obviously a good team. I think Switzerland are hungry. From my impression of it, is Scotland fans think that obviously Germany are the best team and they'll be easier, but Switzerland are a good team. You know, they're efficient, they're always tight at the back, but we can definitely get something out of that game and finally join the party.
Yeah, I mean, the final sort of thoughts on last night, I've tried all day, still yet to meet a Scotland fan that thinks the Ryan Portis red card was wrong. Is everybody in agreement?
I've seen one comment online that said it wasn't a red card, but that was it was an anonymous poster.
Right, I need to find him.
I think he has to go for the ball, and in this day and age, you get the ball, but as soon as you get the man, penalty, red card.
Anything else that you think was particularly wrong last night that needs addressed?
A lot in the stands when you're two down, people are like getting their faces, chase them. That's what they want you to do, because you get out of your shape. A team like Germany, even when you're in shape, they're still pulling you into all the places you don't want to be and knocking the ball. So I think it's just that little bit more intensity. But hopefully when we have the ball on Wednesday, we can retain it better. probably get Gilmore in there, keep it nice and simple, keep it ticking over. Does Christy give weight?
Chris, you're a good man, appreciate your time today.
Thank
That'll
you.
Probably round us off here in the fan zone because we're getting towards the end of the show, but thanks again to Chris and to everyone who's contributed. I have to say the level of contribution we've had in the last three live shows we've done here has been excellent. These fans know their stuff, Mark Wilson.
They certainly do, and me and Daz are feeling a wee bit under pressure here because if there is another tournament, we might be left behind and just get these supporters to do our job. Very
listen,
sensible.
There'll be a vacancy if he falls into that lake, yeah, you would imagine. Yeah.
But it's amazing, speaking to the people today, a lot of people just saying the same thing. Billy Gilmore's name keeps coming up and everybody's just highlighting the same problem. Usually when we analyse a game, we'll get people saying different bits and pieces, but it was all there for everybody to see. Couldn't keep the ball, didn't put them under pressure.
Do you think we've lost
poorly?
Do you think we've lost sight a bit? And I get why to an extent, because we've got our own priorities and it is about us. Do you think we've lost sight? I'm just thinking of the tone of all the calls and all the contributors. Have we lost sight a little bit about just how good Germany were?
No, I think we've addressed it because they were exceptional. We highlighted their dangerous players before the game and how they were going to try and affect the game. It's one thing highlighting them and one thing being that, you know, player that I want to watch in the tournament. It's another thing going and carrying it out, and the German players certainly did that. They will go deep into this tournament with a home backing, but the quality of players that they've got in the midfield and at the top end of the pitch, they can beat anyone in this tournament.
I do wonder as well, Gordon, if Scotland players and fans were tuned in to Hungary and Switzerland and hoping that would make them feel better. I don't know if that's the case either.
Yeah, Switzerland obviously got off to a terrific start here. Three goals as well, Gordon. They'll be full of confidence. They'll have watched the game last night. They'll have looked at Scotland and thought, right, OK, we've got a great start against Hungary. We can go and build in that against Scotland on Wednesday night. But it's up to us to get it right. You're talking, everybody's mentioned Billy Gilmore. I'll need more than Billy Gilmore. I'll need a team performance on Wednesday night to get something.
They are. I think we're almost out of time here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a Saturday afternoon. Thanks to Mark Wilson and thanks to Gordon Dale. You're about to go and zip line across the lake here in the Olympic Park. You're looking forward to it?
I need to go somewhere first because
the toilet's just behind our position here.
Stay tuned to our social media channels. You will see all the footage. That game's finished. Switzerland have beaten Hungary and now we move on. We've loved Munich tomorrow. We're on the train. We're off to Cologne. We build up to the second game for Steve Clark's side. It should be an interesting couple of days for sure, because it's a massive, massive rebuild already, if you like, a massive job to try and turn things around, try and boost that mood ahead of the next game, make sure players aren't feeling too low, make sure minds aren't too tired, because it clearly could have been a bruising encounter in Munich last night. But the fan park starting to empty here slowly but surely after that game finished. And as you can hear, very loud stadium presentation or stage presentation here battling with us. But luckily, we are pretty much out of time. We will speak to you Monday night from 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.